Good morning, North America. Welcome to Church Talk TV, lively talk about life, church, and church life. I'm your co-host, Dr. Bill Tenney-Britton, and I'm joined, as usual, by my co-host, Dr. Chris Tenney-Britton, and we're broadcasting from our studio in Columbia, Missouri, the heartland of America. Say good morning, Chris.
Well, good morning, good morning, good morning, and welcome to Church Talk TV.
Chris and Bill Tenney-Britton here today to talk about first impressions last. And, you know, there's several ways you can take that. It's like first impressions, they last. And also, you want to make first impressions last so that they're, you know, not that they last, but also that it's the most important thing going, because you need to build a reputation with your guests.
Yeah, I'm listening to this. I wasn't listening to it earlier when we were talking or when I read the outline. First impressions last. I really want to bring that home, what you just said. This is not about first impressions being the last thing. First impressions are first.
Right.
Right.
And if you've done it right, they last.
Right.
And that first impressions last more than the first impression. If you do it right, your first impression begins here and doesn't end till later. We're going to talk about that during this episode, but if you do a good first impression, that first impression begins on Sunday, could begin on Saturday night with your website, for that matter,
or your social media,
it goes at least all the way to the next Saturday and hopefully to the next Sunday. And that all, you have an opportunity to make a first impression, first impression, first impression, first impression, over and over again. And when you make a first impression like that, it is a first impression that lasts.
Well, I have to tell you, the church we worshiped at this past week, there was a young woman, a guest, and she really was a young woman. Yep. My guess is she was in her early 20s. It's possible she was in her late
teens. But she looked like she was 12.
Well, everybody looks young to him because he's old. But he thinks he is, but he's not. He's just aging ungracefully. Anyway,
well, thank you for that.
But she was a younger person,
and she
was there by herself, right?
Yep.
And
she had red hair.
She had red
but
hair,
but it wasn't red hair like a red haired person. She wasn't a carrot top, if you will. She was a red haired, dyed hair, red hair.
Do you think that's why nobody was sitting with her?
Because I'm going with this, right?
That because and I didn't see her up front.
I watched her come in, and she chose that seat on her own.
Yep, and she was near the preacher for that morning, and you know, and that was great, and he did. He was just wonderful in greeting her afterward. But I did think I could not get out of my mind. I wonder what kind of impression she's getting.
Right.
And right away, I got to thinking, who greeted her? Who this? Who did that? Who did that? So that's in my mind as we move through this today.
I will just say, on reflecting, she had a smile on her face the whole time.
Oh, she did. She had a beautiful countenance within her.
Yep.
In fact, after the service, I was compelled.
She knew the song, so I'm watching
she was singing. I was compelled to talk to her, and I wish I could say because I was watching to see if anybody was talking to her. Well,
but
I was,
were.
Right?
It,
yeah.
We were like
well, they did
line.
After us.
Yeah, we were second or third in line.
No,
we were second in line
after the preacher.
Okay,
because
I'm watching these things and thinking them through.
Right.
Yeah.
But what else did I want to say about that? The impression, but I did want to, you know, I was thinking about impression, and that says to you as well this morning, it isn't what, you know, they say don't judge a book by its cover, but people do judge
we
the
judge.
Church by our cover.
It's
not just what they get from the very moment they're approaching the church. It's also what they're receiving during the church and then as they leave the church. And what small little twists we can do.
Tweaks
we can do that will make a
adjustments.
Big adjustments. Because as you say tweak, I'm going, little tweaks that we could do. But that can make
a huge difference.
And have really eternal, if you will, can
Absolutely.
Have eternal ramifications,
Absolutely
consequences,
yep.
opportunities.
Yep. I mean, we've both known people who have gone to a church in desperation.
Right.
And they had a horrible experience.
Oh my gosh! Or
and
the church was closed because they went to worship somewhere.
Is that what you're
saying? I'm sorry. Okay.
So,
yeah.
But they had a horrible, and they decided they gave up on God.
Yeah.
From the experience. They said, I'm done. Yeah. I went to the church looking for divine, looking for God.
Yep.
And what I found was church as usual. And they quit. They said, God doesn't exist. Obviously, if it wasn't real there, it can't be real for me. And, you know, it really, I don't want to put a lot of pressure on you, but by golly, I want to put a lot of pressure on you. Because bottom line is, when a visitor comes, unless they're your, best friend from way back and, they have church experience and all the rest, whatever. When someone has the courage to walk into the church on their own, normally speaking, unless they've always been in church, unless they're already Christians and looking for a new church home, they're desperate for something.
Right.
And they're looking for answers to problems in their lives, whether it's a spiritual, emotional, whatever. There's something going on in our lives that has called them to show up. And when the church does church instead of does the body of Christ, then we risk an eternity.
Right.
Really true. I don't know how to put this any more plainly or make it any more serious.
Well, let me say, my own experience with coming to church, it's been a long time now, but I was 22, young mom, had a 15-month-old baby. This is before us. So, but I got up one morning and the voice I now know is the Holy Spirit. This voice inside of me kept telling me to go to church, go to church, go to church. And that was the most ridiculous thing, but it wouldn't go away. And so I then needed to go to church.
You hadn't been to church
as a teenager. Right. Yeah. It's been in several years. And so, and my father had yanked us out of church when I was 10 and became an atheist. He was a function to talk about somebody who'd been hurt, not exactly because of the church, but anyways, that's another story. But I had to go to church that morning, and there were three churches in town. There's a Baptist church, didn't know much about Baptists. There was a Presbyterian church that I'd never seen open, and to this day I'm not sure it was open, and there was a United Methodist church. And when I had been a little girl, and shortly after my dad yanked us out of church, it was the United Methodist, or it wasn't United Methodist, this then, but it was a Methodist church that my aunts would take us to when they came and visited every once a year. So I decided to go there. And the minister's message, well, I was greeted when I got there. There were people greeting at the door. The minister's message is really what hit home for me.
Number one reason first-time visitors return is because of a biblically based, life relevant, inspiring message.
Right. And it was a big time. And he was doing one of those things that you just aren't supposed to do. He was berating the congregation because of ministry that they had done decades earlier, they weren't doing, and the consequence it was having right then and there on a family just four blocks down the street from the church. But he gave a call to action and what we needed to do. And on my way out, I said, I want to be part of that. And he said, well, let's talk.
Remember, this was her first time there.
Right. Yeah. I was a mess. But he said, let's talk. And he followed up with me and came to our home that next week and put us on the mailing list. We'll talk more about that in a few moments. But it really was. And the next week I came back. And I brought my then husband and our 15-month-old little girl. They didn't have children there. The minister's daughter and one of her friends and her cousin. That was our children's ministry. But I got there, and these two women stepped in and said, "We have a nursery if you'd like for us to take your daughter." And I just figured it was safe. And they had a nursery ministry as of that day. And they went out of their way to be welcoming. And for all of the problems that church had, and it would take me a long time in becoming an insider, and unfortunately, that happens when we become insiders. Despite all of that, that church got me, and they kept me and helped me to learn how to have a relationship with Jesus Christ that's led to this today.
All right. So let me talk about some reality.
Because
that's a great story. It's a great way to get this started. But the reality is that most churches get very few visitors.
Right.
Every week, we reach out to hundreds of pastors And we, one of the questions we ask them is, how many first-time visitors do you get per week? And we say visitors, we mean how many households, not, you know, hey, what family came? It's five kids. Yes, that's great, wonderful. That's counted as one. Okay, that's one, all right? You don't get to count them as seven or whatever it is. You know, so one visitor, one household. So most churches get very few. And yet, most churches get some.
Yeah.
They may not be very often.
Right.
But they get some. But here's the second part of that reality is that most churches get few visitors. And the churches that, when they get a visitor, very few return.
Yeah.
And that's the reality. The reality is that on a national basis, the ELCA did a study some years ago that looked across evangelical and mainline and the Protestant church in the United States. And they concluded that the average return rate for visitors, a first-time visitor, was 15%. But then they divided that out, and it turns out that the average return rate for visitors in a mainline church, of which the ELCA is one, was 11%. And we, the Effective Church, saw that number. We launched our own study, and it turns out that if a church has been on a plateau or in a decline for more than 2 years, that the return rate is approximately 6%. What that means is for every 94 people or 94 households who show up in your church, or sorry, every 100 households that show up in your church, 94 of them go, yeah, no, not coming back. And my guess is those six families that do stay out of the 100 are probably lifelong your brand, whatever that brand is.
Well, and they're new into the community, or again, there's some reason, some impetus for them to get started. They're at your church. They could be church jumping, church hopping. Right?
Yeah.
Shopping and hopping.
Yep.
Right. Exactly. But I want to just glom onto that word, 100. If you had 100 families, how many of you had 100 guests over the course of this past year? That would be two a week. First-time visitors. Is that not what you meant?
Yeah,
first-time visitors, right? That's just at two guest units a week. New guest units.
Right.
Eight a month,
right,
give or take. How are you doing there? And when you begin to take it smaller, even just 10, what would that be? How many are going to return? If it's
one.
10. One.
At best. So a church that isn't getting regular first-time visitors and keeping them is on its way out. It's only a matter of time before they have to close the doors. And unfortunately, that's a huge number of churches in the U.S. So
right,
the rest of this episode, we're going to talk about how are we going to turn that around? What are we going to do about... We're not going to talk about how to get more first-time guests. That's another conversation.
Whole episode, yeah.
Because... Again, most churches get a visitor now and again. And so we want to talk about when that visitor comes, how do we increase the odds to more than 50%?
Sure.
And really, the pastors who work with us in the Growing Church Network, they're keeping between 75 and 85% of their first-time visitors. And they're returning and getting involved and joining and getting baptized and all the rest. So folks, it is possible if you apply a process to get your first-time visitors to turn them into returning guests who get baptized, become disciples, join your church, etc. So that it really all revolves around this next point, which is, you got to create some connections.
All right. Well, I love this so much. And so those connections start even before they pull into your parking lot. Like standing out there at the driveway or the entryway, or if you're on a street and you don't have a parking lot, at the corner. We visited a church a few years ago, and I just smiled when the people were out there on the corner and on the sides. The church had entrances this way, and they were waving. It starts there.
One of our pastors, Pastor Stephanie, in the Growing Church Network, talks about she stands on the steps. Their church is on a corner. They have on-street parking. They have no parking lot. And there's a four-way stop. And so she stands out there every Sunday morning while, you know, people are coming in, and she stands there on the steps of the church where both lines of traffic can see her, and she waves at the people. And she's had people show up because they saw her and, you know, and have, you know, a week or two later dropped in.
She made an impression.
She made an impression.
She made an impression. Right. Yeah.
So
okay.
Make an impression.
Before they get to your parking lot. Once they've parked, well, you know, having greeters in the parking lot, and we did this in in our church plant there, the Seattle church plant, Metro Seattle church plant. We enlisted our kids to have umbrellas, and so whenever it rained, they were out there.
It was Seattle, so that was pretty regular.
Very regular, but they were out there, and we trained them how to do it. And there were parents, you know, or not just parents, adults that were out there helping them and coordinating with that. But people over and over and repeatedly would say to us, "Wow, this is such a welcoming church. Wow, this is so you're so hospitable. We knew we were going to like you as soon as we pulled into the parking lot." And so we were always there. We were greeting. We were saying hello. Our folks were
right.
doing that.
Right.
You probably did a little bit. You're much more gregarious than I am in that regard.
I was out there occasionally, but
worship to get rid of.
Well, and we very often, I was at the front door.
Right.
I'm greeting people as they came in.
Right.
And we had our parking lot greeters, our umbrella team, who were out there with big golf umbrellas,
right.
to be fair.
Right, they have
And they were huge ones, and they go out and bring the people in.
But they weren't there just when it was raining.
No,
that's
no,
why
no.
I want to say that. Or, I mean, they were always out there, but they did have the umbrellas when it was raining.
So that our church really focused on young families. So when a young family showed up and they were pulling out their little stroller, you know, the foldable stroller and whatnot,
right.
the kids, they weren't kids.
They were youth.
Youth. They were right there.
Little high school.
Can I carry this for you? Can I help you with this? Whatever. So that you weren't trying to juggle 14 things. You
right.
were there with, you know, with your kid and zip in. So you were making a first impression right from the beginning in the parking lot to the building. I went to Life Church in Kansas City a couple months ago, and when I pulled into the parking lot, there was parking lot people. It's a very big church, and they were, you know, pointing where to park and whatnot. But as I pulled in, there were a group of people greeters on the front door. But there were several greeters who were intentionally looking in the parking lot, in the driveway, as people were coming, looking at you and waving at you, not just waving at the car. They were, "Hey, good morning, good to see you." And, you know, it's like, wow, this made an impression.
Yeah, definitely. Okay, so now we've got them to the door. Are we at the door?
They've gone out of their car. And if you don't have parking lot greeters, because that's what we want to talk about, because not every church can have parking lot greeters. Stephanie's church doesn't have a parking lot to have greeters at.
Right. I'm with you.
So when you don't have that, then you need to have a greeter at the front door. And when I say at the front door, I mean outside the front door, waving and making sure everyone knows this is the front door.
Okay, so I don't think I want to differ with you here, because I think we're on the same page.
Right.
Whether you have parking lot greeters or not, you still have to have a greeter at that front door.
That's up there, right?
Totally there, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
You still have a greeter even
if
you have
it. I mean, another church that we're familiar with, and there are a lot of them like this, that they don't have parking lot greeters. And most of the time, not all the time, they have door greeters.
Outside
greeters. They're out there. Even when it's cold, right? You know, they'll talk about the chill and whatnot. But you feel like you're kind of one with them. And you feel kind of special because they're being cold on your behalf, if you will, right?
And I want to say, I've worked with a church that was, when I do consultations, recommend about outdoor greeters. You have greeters outside. And this was a church where it is in an area where it's known for really deep snow and really, really cold. And so we recommended, and they got those outdoor heaters
cool.
they put near the door so that their greeters didn't get really cold. They could still stand there and wave. And it was, you know, it didn't cost all that much. I think they bought two or three of them so that the folks could stand there and not freeze. But the key is helping your people understand how important this is. I can tell you that fairly recently I went to a church as a consultant, and I pulled in the parking lot, and there was no one outdoors in terms of, you know, and there were very few cars in the parking lot, to be fair. It was a small church, but there were no greeters. There was, as far as I could tell, the church was closed. There was no sign of life at that church. And it's like,
in or out.
What does that say?
Right.
You know, what does it say to someone who's a visitor? It's like, oh, you know, down the street, there's another church down there. Because there's another church down the street almost anywhere.
I have to say, I think the majority of churches that we do consultations for have that problem, a greeter's problem. Or when they're larger, their buildings are larger, trying to figure out what door to go into. Yeah. And when we do consultations, or in one or the other, when we do them together, we drop one off and then the other of us secret shops. And how many times, even just in the last couple of years, have I had to wander around and go to one door and then I realize that's not the door at all for me.
Greeters are outside all the doors that are entrances, and there's big signs that say not an entrance to the doors that aren't.
Right. Right. I could say something else about that, but I'm not going to. Exactly. Please go that way.
Right.
Or have someone there outside that says, hey, go that way. Right. Don't know why you can't come in this door.
And that's why you have greeters outside, because they're going, hey, good morning. Good to see you.
I'm over here.
Yes,
come over here. Now, okay, with this. And we hadn't really talked about this, but it's also how long they stay out there. Growing churches, people will arrive late in growing churches. It's one of the ways you can see, is this a growing church? How long does it, you know, how long will people keep coming
before the church is full?
Starting to fill. Right. Yeah, exactly.
Oh, look at this. So it's, we've been going for
15 minutes.
And now we're starting to see people dribble in.
And you need to, someone needs to time that for you. When does the last person tend to, or the last people, if you will, tend to dribble in?
Right.
That's how long you need to have your greeters out there.
So you know, the church that we went to last Sunday, 15 minutes.
They were still dribbling.
The greeter was out there through 15 minutes. The last visitor came, or last person came in about 10 after, and the greeter was out there till quarter after.
Way to go. And
he missed all the music. That's what the greeters understand, that they're making a sacrifice for the sake of the kingdom of God.
Right, exactly. And please keep greeters at all the doors. Church I did a consultation for a few years ago, their only handicap entrance was not convenient to where the sanctuary and office area was. So they closed that one within 5 minutes after the service started. So if anybody who needed a handicap accessible entrance, they weren't coming to church that day. And there was nobody down there to help them or anything else.
All right, so greeters outside, but that's not the end of it. When your visitors get past the greeters, get in, then there needs to be lobby hosts. If you have a lobby of any size, some churches are, you know, that's front door into the sanctuary.
Right.
In which case, you don't need that.
The front door, little place that more than four people can fit.
Right. Yeah. The lobby. So you know, in that case, you need an usher. But if you have a large space or a good space to walk through, you need lobby hosts, people who are looking for the lost. And I don't mean spiritually, that maybe too, but people lost, like, where am I?
Yeah.
Where am I supposed to go?
And like I was yesterday trying to find the restroom.
Yeah.
Or not yesterday, but last Sunday. Yeah.
So, you know, you need lobby hosts who are looking for those people and zeroing in on them, saying good morning and whatever. They're not hanging out with their members, having good conversation, and forgetting that that's not their job.
Right. Oh my gosh.
Their job is to look for the people who are lost, and that is their priority above all the members and all the rest. Okay. So, that then, of course, next layer is your ushers. And ushers should not be just bulletin hander-outers. If they're just bulletin hander-outers, then put a little stand up there, say, take one, and leave it alone. Okay, ushers, ush. That means they invite people that, you know, can I show you a seat? Now, Mrs. Higginbottom, who's been coming to the church for 47 years and sits in the same place, it seems really pointless to say, may I help you find a seat? And Mrs. Higginbottom may not appreciate being asked.
Because you already know where she sits.
Right, exactly. But you ask everyone. So the visitor who's back here just thinking, oh, well, look at me. You know, they know I'm a visitor.
Oh,
you know. So may I have a seat? And no, I got a place, you know. And in some of our church congregations, you know, well, no, true story. In smaller congregations, we think, well, they got lots of seats. But do you know what one of the biggest fears of visitors are? That there's assigned seating. Because they've heard the story. Well, she's standing in my seat. Right. And I went, and so by having an usher, you know, who says, you know, may I show you a seat? The person, visitor or your member, has the opportunity to say yes, and then you can find them a seat. And it's especially hard if you have a congregation that's maybe not full, but has is full-ish or a little bit full. When you're standing and singing, it's almost impossible to find an empty seat.
Right.
And your ushers should be scoping out and know exactly where the empty spaces are. And they don't put the visitors on the front row.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah. So with that, then you want to avoid saying, oh, hi, Miss Higginbottom. let me show you to your seat. Right? Because now you're saying, let me show you to your seat. And that communicates that
we have
there
assigned
is assigned seating.
Right. Even though that may not officially be assigned seating, sometimes we know better.
We know better than that. Okay, go.
So, okay, we're running out of time, and I want to just, there's 2 minute bits I want to talk about. Number one is when people get into the worship center, if they're a visitor, if they're a guest, then we want to treat them like a guest, and we want to have a worship host buddy up with them. Buddy up with them. Sit behind them or with them so they can whisper instructions. You know, hey, you know, we're about ready to stand up, or hey, we're doing communion and this is how we do it. And in fact, the church we were at this last weekend, they said, you know, take the bread, take the cup, just hang on to it, we'll do it together.
Right.
Other churches do it, you know, they pass it, you take it, and away you go. So the worship buddy would say, hey, this is how we're gonna do it. So no one's embarrassed or confused.
Sure.
They notice where they have a Bible or, you know, if that's needed in this worship center or whatever. You know?
Right. Well, I was thinking one of the things this church didn't do this weekend, but they usually do, is tell you that if you want or need gluten-free to go over to this side,
right?
And another part, I've just been really blessed as a church shopper, or not as a church shopper, but a secret shopper. And then when I worked in denominational ministries, was really blessed with great experience of worship hosts, you know, that came and
worship
helped
buddies.
Talk, worship buddies, right. that walked me through. But you didn't mention worship hosts, and I do want to touch on that real quick, because worship hosts are those people who are taking parts of the... or assigned, if you will, parts of the sanctuary, the worship center, and interacting with people or talking with them. Or if they're a guest or then or sitting by themselves, introducing them to the people that are sitting next to them in some way or near them.
I call them hummingbirds. They flip from person to person, and you'll know who those people ought to be just by watching every week.
Right.
You'll see the people who are doing that anyway.
Yep.
Codify it so that they're actually doing it intentionally.
And if you've got bulletins in a box or whatever or anywhere and they don't have that, you're not seeing that, you could say, oh, can I let me grab you a bulletin. Or you just have extra ones there in your hand that you say, oh, I don't see that you got a worship program, and you're able to hand that to
them. We're almost out of time. In fact, we are out of time, but I'm going to say this last bit, and that is, that, you know, we've gone through all that. If you don't get contact information and you don't follow up, they're not coming back. It's just the odds of them returning are almost none if you don't follow up. So we've had episodes in the past on getting connected information. Get that and follow up. And you follow up at least 5 times during the week with these folks in different ways so that they know they were missed. And that you want them there. And here's the key. Most churches in your community are doing no follow-up. So if you do good follow-up, the chances of them returning skyrocket. Again, in our growing church network, to between 75% and 86%. Hey, we're out of time. We'll see you next week.
Have a great week.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.